because things always go bad. I can't stand up and say they won't go bad, because they will. I was talking to somebody from Florida the other night, and they said that their pastor told them that the grid is now in place, that they can start closing the grid down, you know, the electric. They're going to start closing the electric down in different areas of your town. Now, I read today where their money market is about ready to collapse. Many people don't understand what we're headed in for. So I'm warning you tonight that get in the eye of the storm and stay there. Their pastor's telling them to get water ready, to buy a generator, solar powered generator, and get in the dry food. And God told her before she ever went to Florida when she was living here to buy a gun. Well, she didn't like guns. She bought a gun and put it up. And now their pastors told them they have to get their guns, which they have, and they're practicing how to, they're teaching them how to use the gun so they don't go out and shoot yourself. You know? I forgot the name of the church in Florida. It's a big church there. It's very well known, but I really forgot the name of it. I didn't write it down. We have to be aware of the fact that things are going to get darker. Now, I was reading another article where they said, would God, excuse me, would God save America? You know, and I've been contemplating this about what God's going to do with America. And it just came to me that the only way God's been able to get America's attention is to bring us to a hard place. And I know God has told me a lot of bad things are going to happen to America. He told me that years and years ago. But he also said he wouldn't destroy America. And I really believe that's why this glory drop is coming. I really believe that's why the revivals are happening in different spots right now. It's to get the souls saved and get the people ready for the darkness that's going to cover the earth. So I'm just asking each one of you in here tonight to please get yourself prepared. Don't walk around with your head in the sand, but get yourself prepared for the days ahead. Don't walk in fear. Fear is not of God, never has been, never will be of God. I've never walked in fear, so, well, I had fear of heights when I was a little kid, but other than that, I just don't do it because I just know deep down in my heart that God is going to take care of me no matter what goes on in my life. And each one of you have, if you're walking in fear, you have to get out of fear because fear is not of God. It is of the enemy. Now, I know this message is of God for a couple reasons. One thing, I really had another message just about ready. And my electricity, well, my grandson got sick and I was taking care of him. Then my electricity went out. And before my electricity went out, I called and said to Brother Chris, would you please get a message ready? Because with me taking care of my grandson, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish what I started. Well, when the electricity came on, I just knew I had to get to finish the message. So I finished the message, and at the end, I thought, this isn't the message I was even working on. I don't know how this message came on my computer. I was going to teach on why your prophetic word does not come to pass. And this message here is peace or panic. The choice is yours. I don't know how it got on there, and I had it halfway finished. I had it dated for today and everything, but I don't even know anything about this when I did it. So I know this, and as I was reading it and going over it and fine-tuning it, I realized why God is having me teach this tonight. And I called Chris. I said, Chris, you're not teaching. I am, because God wants this message taught tonight. Many people are doing crazy things in the house of God. They really are. And they're blaming either the house of God or God. They're not taking the blame on their shoulders where it should be. It's them that's out of control. It's them that's been disobedient to God, but they'd rather blame the church they come to visit, or they'd rather blame God because, you know, God doesn't know what he's doing anymore. But this isn't the fact. The fact is it's us. We all have to understand it's us. And, you know, bad things do happen to good people. I see that over and we read about it over and over again, don't we? And maybe you're not doing anything wrong. It's just that you're just being tested and tried. So you don't go out there and shoot God and shoot yourself and carry on like a fool and leave the church. You get before God and just get some direction from him, because he will give you direction. He really will. Instead of us running off, you know, just, I'm going to say half-cocked, and going to everybody you know, trying to get them to say what you want to hear. And you people got to, you have to watch this. As you're out ministering, people will keep at you, keep at you, because they want you to say a certain thing. You know, they want God to say a certain thing. And they're going to keep going until somebody, God sends a false prophet, and he tells them what they want to hear. That's in the Word. So I don't want you guys to do that. You listen to what God has to say. You follow his voice, and you do everything he's telling you to do. Because everything he's told you he's going to do is going to happen. And the enemy's going to try to make you believe it is not going to happen. A whole lot of things are coming down right now. Just like the person that I talked to on the phone, they said, you know how much I love my church? I said, yeah, I know you do. And they said, well, I God's moved me out of there. Why is he moved me out of a big anointed church? I said, I don't know. You know, not here and I can't tell you. But didn't God say he was moving people around? You know, he's taking one out of one church, putting in another church, moving from state to state. So, you know, we're not going to ask God, why are you doing this? We're just going to say, God, what do you want me to do now since you've done this? And when you're in that transition, you get a little bit nervous because nothing's familiar to you anymore. Everything's brand new and you really don't know what to do. You're totally out of control. All right. Father, I just thank you tonight for this word. I thank you for the people who came out to sit at your table and eat fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I'm asking you to do me a special favor tonight. I'm asking that gift of peace that passes all understanding be dropped upon your people this night. And it will dispel all fear, all anxiety. And your people tonight, when they leave this place, will walk in perfect peace. Father, I know that you know each one of our hearts. You know exactly where you're taking us to. And I want you to do a new thing in your people tonight, Father God. I want you to give them an assurance of in their heart that you know what you're doing with their lives and that they will totally, completely surrender themselves to you and just blindly follow you like Abraham did, Father. And Father God, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, how to maintain a tranquil soul. With everything that is coming down the road, we must discover the pathway to abiding peace and true tranquility. With everything that is coming down the road, we must discover the pathway to abiding peace and true tranquility. If we look out at the chaos and confusion, the death and destruction, we can be overwhelmed. We are going to be overwhelmed because God told me that. When this all happens, people are going to start frantically running to and fro and they won't know what to do. This is why God is getting, he has a remnant of people that he has set apart and he has been teaching over the years to be strong towers that others can run into so that when all this chaos starts, he can start sending people to you, individually to you. All right? However, if we will lift our vision higher and look up and focus our attention on Jesus, our outlook will change. How many times has God told you, don't look to the right or to the left? Don't look behind, but look up, look into my eyes, and follow me. He's still saying the same thing today that he was saying 15 years ago. We have to quit looking at our circumstances. Everybody in here, I know you have circumstances in your life that if you looked at them hard enough, they would totally overwhelm you and just totally take you off course. And this is why we have to continually look unto Jesus, author and finisher of our life. You have to say, God, your word says. Don't say, well, I remember what you prophesied to me. Say, your word says. Because his word never lies, does it? Isaiah 26:3-5. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclinations and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him, lean on him, hope confidently in him forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. God does not change. You and I change every second some days, don't we? But God does not ever change. And you know, as I was working on this, I thought, God, it's so hard to get up there and preach the word because bad things are happening to good people. There's so many unanswered questions right now. And you're not talking. It is really hard because I would like to be able to get up there and say, thus saith the Lord, and have a clear cut answer to a question. But it's not happening right now. So all we can do is walk by total faith, stay in peace. I know a lot of you in here tonight probably have questions before the Lord that he's not answering, and you thought things were going to go one way, but they're going some other way, and you're trying to figure out what God's doing. But don't try to figure out what God's doing. Just let him do it. Luke 21, 25 to 28, Jesus warns us that a time is coming when many will fall prey to fear and panic because of the things they see coming upon the earth. And that's in Luke 21, 25. And there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth there will be distress, trouble, and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity, without resources, left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn, at the roaring, the echo of the tossing of the sea, men swooning away or expiring with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world. For the very powers of the heavens will be shaken and caused to totter. And when they will see the Son of Man coming in, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great transcendent and overwhelming power and all his kingly glory, majesty, and splendor. Now when these things begin to occur, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption, deliverance, is drawing near. I don't know how many times God says, look up because your redemption is drawing near. Each one of you in here tonight must understand that God is in control. And if we look at this election that's coming up, I'm saying, God, what do we do? You're going to have to tell me something. What are we going to do? And each day when you think you have something figured out, then that person does something crazier than they did the day before. You know, and it's just really a mess. And God told me not to get in politics, and I'm not going to, but it's a mess, isn't it? And I'm really asking God, what are you doing here, Father, in all this? Just what is all this about? Amen? I know I'll get an answer, but I just don't have one yet. All right, living in perfect peace. Tranquility will not be generated by people or prescription pills. It is not obtained through yoga or occult meditation or any other occult practice. True tranquility of soul, genuine godly peace, is only found in the person of Christ, not in some ritual or pagan practice. He alone is a prince of peace. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you can walk in the perfect peace of God. It doesn't matter what's going on around about you, you can walk in the perfect peace of God. The storm could be raging all around about you, under you, over you, you know, but you just feel like maybe you've lost your mind because you're in peace. And nothing can make you get out of that peace. Are you listening? There is a place in God where you can find perfect peace. Paul found it. Peter found it. You know, John found it. Abraham found it. Why can't we find it? We can. We just have to trust God and go there. The antidote for negative thoughts or emotions is simple. We must obey the word of God. If God tells you to get in the eye of the storm and stay there, then get in the eye of the storm and stay there. And don't let the things that are going on around about you pull you out of the eye of the storm. The only cure for fear and anxiety is abiding in the word, the person of Jesus Christ. Paul declares in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, definite request. With thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm hearing God say this is a hard place to go to, but you can go to that place of perfect peace in me. And he said, while you're going to that perfect place of peace, you have to also guard your heart, because the enemy is after your heart also. So when you find yourself getting out of perfect peace, you need to run to Jesus and find out what is going on here. You know, if you don't have peace, you can't transfer that peace to somebody else. You'll transfer your anxiousness to somebody else, but not perfect peace. The answer to stress and anxiety is not medication, but a living relationship with the Father. This is a pattern we need to learn. As we turn our inner focus, our will, to Christ and place our affections on Him, adjusting our thoughts to the Word, we will discover abiding peace that is the Enoch walk of the overcomer. Now let's read that paragraph again. The answer to stress and anxiety is not medication, but a living relationship with the Father. A living relationship with the Father. This is a pattern we need to learn. As we turn our inner focus, which is our will, to trust and place our affections on God, adjusting our thoughts to the Word of God, we will discover abiding peace. And this is the Enoch walk of the overcomer. Can you just imagine the walk Enoch must have had with God? You know, God was so pleased with him. If Enoch could do it, why can't we? The story's in the Bible for a reason. It isn't just take up space, because God said there's not enough books in the world to write everything that Jesus did. So that the Enoch walking so perfectly with God is there to show you and I that we can walk just as perfect with God as anybody can. Who was Enoch? He was a man, was he not? Flesh and blood like you and I, but yet he walked in perfect peace with God. Amen. Tonight, God is saying he wants you to quit being ruled by your head and be ruled by your heart, which is embedded in Christ. And he's saying if you quit being ruled by your head, your emotions, you won't be walking in anxiety, but you'll be walking in peace and tranquility. All right. Christ's presence within us is our assurance that we can live in peace even in times of pressure and turmoil. How much pressure is there and turmoil is there in the world right now? A whole bunch, right? Now, church, if we can't get in peace in this pressure and turmoil, why would the world want to come into the house of God? If they see you as stressed out, excuse me, as they are, they don't want that. They want something new. They want something that will revive them and bring life into them. Yes, we all have our problems, but we don't have to walk in anxiety. We just don't. I've been there. I got out of there. You've been there, and you might have gotten out of there. If you haven't, let's get out of there. And let's walk in perfect peace. So the enemy's always, always, always going to come at you. Always. But that doesn't mean you have to give in to him. That doesn't mean you have to allow him to ruin your day, per se. Jesus is in control, is he not? Then if he is in control, then the devil can't ruin your day. He might ruin your moment. But as you repent and say, Father, I'm so sorry I let him in that little crack, and then you'll get your perfect peace back again. The promise is much more than just merely getting through the tough times. God promised us perfect peace and constant contentment. Perfect peace and constant contentment. Does this sound too good to be true? Hardly. This is the abundant life purchased for us by the broken body and spilled blood of the Lamb of God at Calvary. You know, whenever we talk, see, it's sort of hard to preach anymore, because when you preach this and then you see all God's children overseas being killed, slaughtered, you know, but we don't know if they were in perfect peace when they died. I don't know about you, but if somebody said, I'm going to kill you because you won't renounce Christ, I would be so happy, wouldn't know what to do with myself. Go ahead and shoot me so I can go into heaven. Amen. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and fret and cry and oh, don't do this. Just get it over with and let me go on to be with my Father, right? And this is the state that God wants us. Look at the disciples. Look how they had to die. I don't think they whined. Who was it they drugged through the streets on the back of a horse? Who was that? One of the disciples was drugged through the streets. You know, I'm quite sure he wasn't screaming, oh, stop, stop, stop. I'm quite sure, because he was such a mighty man of God, he would just thank God, get it over with, you know, to himself. So what would you do if they drug you through the streets? I submit, I submit. Cut me loose, I submit. Come on. So you see, you're going to have to determine right now, what are you going to do if those things happen to you? And then you cannot change your mind. You have to stay committed to your decision. All right. I said, does this sound too good to be true? Hardly. This is the abundant life purchased for us by the broken body and spilled by the Lamb of God at Calvary. He died and rose again to birth the kingdom of God within us when we are born again. Do you understand, guys, this is why you're not winning very many souls to Christ? It's because you're still giving in to your emotions, still giving in to the wiles of the devil, and we all have to stop that, because people are watching you. Oh, look at them. They profess that their God is so wonderful. Look how they're over there moaning and groaning, complaining about something's happening in their life. See, we can't do that. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a testimony here. When I was first born again, there was a pastor here in Delaware, and he had a big church, and I went into a convenience store up there in Pearson's Corner, and he was in there looking all down and dejected and everything else, telling all of his troubles to this unsaved person, you know, behind the cash register. And I'm thinking, why did he do that? Because now he can't win them to Christ. 20 years later, I wasn't doing it to a cashier, but I was doing it to an unsaved person. So don't be judging somebody else. And so this unsaved person did not want the Jesus I had, because I was sitting there complaining to them. And we should never do that. We should be telling them how wonderful Jesus, I don't care what you're going through, telling them how wonderful Jesus is. And see, that was how I judged that pastor. I said, you know, instead of him doing it, he should be telling them how wonderful Jesus is and keeping his problems to himself. Well, I think we've all done that. And if you haven't, I really blessed you. I know God is really, really blessing you abundantly. And don't do it now if you haven't already done that. The Prince of Peace abides within us. Within us. He's not down the road 20 mile. He's in us. We have a blood-bought right to walk in uninterrupted shalom, which is peace. Free from all anxiety and fear because of the living, breathing presence of Christ in our temple. Hello. Let's read that again. The Prince of Peace abides within us. We have a blood-bought right to walk in uninterrupted peace. Free from all anxiety and fear. Free from all anxiety and fear because of the living, breathing presence of Christ in our temple. That's our right. And we allow Satan to steal that all the time. This is not too good to be true. Despite the arguments of your mind and heart, the scriptures are always true, and they are filled with examples of people who lived in peace in overwhelming situations. Abraham believed God even as he raised the knife over Isaac, and you find that in Genesis 22. Caleb and Joshua believed God's promises after 40 years in the deserts. That's in Numbers 14:38. Mary believed God's word, having never known a man, and her soul rejoiced. That's in Luke 1:26-38. Christ himself believed his Father even as he was crucified. That's just a few. When he overcame sin, when Jesus overcame sin, fear, and death at Calvary, we overcame them in him. Oh, some of you don't believe that. I know you don't because I know the way you act. When Jesus overcame sin, fear, and death at Calvary, we overcame them in him. We were united with him in death, and we are united with him in his resurrection. The cross stripped all power from fear and anxiety. I just can't, you know, that word anxiety, I hear so much of that anymore. I'm having an anxiety attack. And I used to wonder, what are they talking about? Now I know. Why are you having an anxiety attack? Come on, either Christ is in you or he isn't. So don't go out there professing you're a child of God and Christ is in you if you're running around having anxiety attacks. Come on. Where does an anxiety attack come from? The devil. Instead of you saying, I'm having an anxiety attack, say, anxiety, spirit of anxiety, get out of me in Jesus' name. Come on. I was surprised. I read an article about that, how many people get hospitalized with anxiety attacks. It's terrible. Especially when Jesus Christ paid the price and we don't have to go there. I lost my place. Where am I at? The cross stripped. All right, the cross stripped all power from fear and anxiety. They no longer have legal mastery over our souls unless we let them rule. They no longer have legal mastery over our souls unless we let them rule. I know years ago these people come to the church and I get a phone call, pray because we're taking so-and-so to the hospital. They're having an anxiety attack. And, you know, and we'd pray and we'd go visit them. And thought, why are you going through these things? It was just what was going through my head. Why are they going through these things? You know, it's because they let them rule and reign in them. They don't understand what Jesus Christ really did for them. They still don't understand it. We must not allow fear and anxiety to rule in our lives. We must first recognize the voices of the enemy. We must first recognize the voices of the enemy, spirits of fear, rejection, accusation, and more. These are all voices of the enemy. We must then repent from coming into agreement with these evil spirits and begin to hate evil with a perfect hatred. How many of you are hating evil with a perfect hatred right now? It just drives me to distraction at the way evil is running rampant, even in the house of God. And do you think if we're not feeling that, what do you think God's feeling? He's not feeling, oh, whoa, 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 joy, joy, joy. We're his children. And we're out there depicting Jesus Christ, supposed to be. And if we're doing evil and walking in anxiety and fear and all that kind of stuff, you know, Sister Nancy Willis used to always, she'd be scared to death sitting in the back seat of a car. You aren't scared of that anymore, are you? All right. And when she first came around, I said, you're afraid to do what? She said, I'm afraid to sit in the back seat of the car. So finally she got delivered from that. And then I found out she's afraid to get on an elevator. I said, what? So you mastered that too, right? So see, she had to master the, but then I got to thinking, what are they called? Escalators? I have to stand there a good 5 minutes and get nerve to jump on those. Cause I'm wondering, is it going to catch my foot in there? So I said, what's the difference between me doing that? And well, she wouldn't get on the elevator or get in the front seat, but I do stand there and after a bit do master that thing and jump on there and hold on to the railing real tight, you know, but I don't do that anymore, but I used to do that. So you see, we all do something that we shouldn't be doing because God is with us. Amen. So I'm not judging her. I can't believe in with some of the things people have fears of. But then when I was little, I used to be afraid to go up in a tree and afraid of heights. And I think I was 50 before I finally overcome my thing about heights. We used to always have to, you know, we built our house and we had to do the roof and everything when it needed done. And I'd get up on the roof and be afraid to come down. And my daughter would say, get on the ladder and just climb down like you climbed up. I said, I will. An hour later, I get up nerve to climb down that ladder. And I said, my daughter said, I'll come. I said, no, I'm going to master this thing. I'm going to climb. If I climb up this ladder, I'm going to come back down the ladder. And of course, once I got up there, I walked over the roof, putting up shingles and everything else. And what was the difference about climbing back down that ladder? And I had to master that thing, and now I can go up and down the ladder. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm not going to climb trees though, okay? But I have mastered that. So see, but I had to determine this thing is not going to beat me. I'm like that. I'm going to whip it. I'm bigger than it is. And so I'm going to do this thing. And see, you have to get that tenacity where I'm bigger than this thing that's controlling my life. And that thing was controlling my life. So are you bigger than that thing? Sure you are. You just have to tell it so, and if it takes you an hour to get down the ladder, at least you got down it without any help. Amen? And my daughter, she had a cherry picker. I get to cherry picker. I said, nope, I'm going to sit here till I can get down this thing. You know, come on. We can do it. We just have to do it. We have to work at it. Because then I didn't know everything I know now, though. But now I know Jesus is within me, and none of this stuff has any control over me. Amen? I just said I had no fears, but I did, didn't I? I had fear climbing a tree, had a fear going up and down the ladder, right? But I conquered them through Christ. I let Larry climb the trees because after all, I'm a woman, I should be climbing trees, right? I said to my grandson, and I said, you should climb up that tree, honey, and cut them dead limbs out. He said, why don't you do it, my mom? I said, I'm not going up that tree. Where are we at, Nancy? Then we must renounce the presence of these demonic beings in our lives and cast them away in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And see, that's what I did. I said, devil, you're not keeping me sitting up here on this roof all night. I'm going to lick this thing and come down this ladder. Amen. Ask for and receive forgiveness from your heavenly Father for having come into agreement with the lies of the devil. The devil told me, you got up, but you're not going down. See, and I had to get out of that mindset. As we submit to God and resist the devil, we will experience a peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. You know, now I look at that ladder and say, why was I so afraid to come down that ladder? Don't you feel dumb when you do stuff like that? Yeah, it's just a ladder, you know, and it was controlling me. So, all right, so whatever your thing is, when you look back, you think, isn't that dumb? Why did I let that thing control me? No? Come on. Nancy just would not sit in the back seat. She didn't care who was driving. She was going to sit beside them. Amen? I said, even married, I didn't care. The husband and wife could sit in the back seat. I was sitting in that front seat. And that's what she did until she got delivered from that mess. In our union with his resurrection, we have been given open access to perfect peace. You hear that? In our union with his resurrection, we have been given open access to perfect peace. How do we abide in this peace as a daily lived experience? We do it by keeping our minds, wills, and emotions fixed on Christ and living lives of repentance from sin. We do it by keeping our minds, wills, and emotions fixed on Christ and living lives of repentance from sin. Whenever your thoughts or emotions stray from the Prince of Peace, recognize the temptation of the evil one. Whenever your thoughts or emotions stray from the Prince of Peace, recognize the temptation of the evil one. If your heart has already come into agreement with his evil suggestions, simply receive forgiveness and return to the heart of your beloved, which is found in his word. Despite the storms, ponder the promise in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. You will keep him. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. See, if you're not in perfect peace and your mind isn't stayed on Christ, it's stayed on the problem. And you have to go from the problem to God in order to get in that perfect peace. How many of you ever felt, you know, and all of a sudden a nagging thing come at you like, oh, something's going to go wrong. And then you say, no, I'm not going there. That's not peace. And I say, God, I'm sorry that I allowed this feeling to even come over me. I'm letting go of this thing, and I'm going to walk in perfect peace. And immediately, I start walking in perfect peace. See, but if you don't do that, that nagging thing will get bigger and bigger and bigger. All right? We must never doubt that God is good and that he does good. We must never doubt the fact that God is good and that he does good. Instead, we must be confident that Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a strength and stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows, recognizes, has knowledge of, and understands those who take refuge and trust in him. This is a rock on which we can stand when the storms come our way, and they will indeed come." Because Matthew 7:24 tells us, "So everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a stupid, foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great and complete was the fall of it." So where's your house built? Where's your temple at? Is it built on the rock or is it built on the sand? That's what it boils down to. Despite the storms, however, God's plans and purposes for you are wonderful. Despite the storms, however, God's plans and purpose for you are wonderful. It doesn't matter what comes your way. God's plans for you are perfect. And he will bring you to a place of perfect peace while you're going through that storm before you get to the place that God's taken you to. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." You have to remember that when all that doubt comes into your mind. God said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God wrote that in the book so we would read it and take it into our spirit man and live by it. You must distinguish between the truths of God and the facts of your existence and choose to trust the Lord no matter what you perceive or feel. You know, you might have the worst storm in the world going on in your life, but God says to you, stand. Stand. And that's all he says, stand. And what he's saying is get in perfect peace and know that I'm in control of this storm that's in your life. If you've done everything God's told you to do and you're obedient to everything he's told you to do in this situation, then you can really and truly stand in perfect peace. Never look at the facts of your life, and do not place your emotions upon the facts of your life, but upon the truth of God's word. Then you will abide in peace. Do you have a bad situation going on in your life? Has God spoke to you and told you exactly how it's going to turn out? Has he spoke to you and told you exactly what's going on? Then why are you getting upset over it? He's already forewarned you and told you what's going to happen. And he already told you how it's going to turn out, so why are you getting so messed up? Well, it's bad, yeah. Well, God already told you what's going to be. You know? But he also told you what the end result was going to be. You're going to have to get in perfect peace. Instead of worry and anxiety, recall this to mind. The Lord's compassion and mercies are overwhelming. The Lord's compassion and mercies are overwhelming. When I recall this, I have hope. You know, when I'm in a really bad storm and I recall that God loves me and he has compassion for me and he has mercy for me and he's given me great promises, then I can have hope that all things are going to turn out all right. When I recall this, I have hope. I am not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Isn't that neat? They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's in Lamentations 3:20-24. Your battleground is not the circumstances of your life. Your battleground is not the circumstances of your life. The true battleground of the enemy is in your mind, will, and emotions. All right. Keeping your thoughts and heart focused on good things will prevent darkness from overtaking your soul. Keeping your thoughts and heart focused on good things will prevent darkness from overtaking your soul. There's always going to come things into your life that you're going to be watching the circumstances and say, God, why are you still allowing this to go on? But that should not take you out of perfect peace. It shouldn't. It might make you pray more, might make you fast, but it should not take you out of perfect peace. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. We don't do this, though. It says, whatever things are true, we look at all the lies around about us. Whatever things are noble, we don't look at anything noble, we look at messed up things. Whatever things are just, we don't look at that either. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, we don't look at any of that. We look at all the junk in the situation. We look at all the dark stuff that's staring us in the face. Then there goes our peace. And Paul wrote, be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. We must stay focused on Christ and his unchangeable kingdom if we are to have abiding peace during these days of chaos. Come on. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God told me that years ago. Daughter, you need to quit worrying about tomorrow. You just need to think about what you're going through today, because you won't be able to face tomorrow if you don't get through today. And isn't that true? So don't worry about what tomorrow holds. You just get yourself worked through the day you're in, the situations you're in. And we do that by staying abiding in Christ. There is no greater warfare than our abiding with the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace will crush our foe under our feet in Romans 16:20. You know, there's no greater warfare than abiding with the Prince of Peace. Do you know that the enemy's not going to want you to be in peace? You're going to have to war to stay in that peace. The enemy's not going to let you just waltz into peace. Get out of here. I don't see why everybody thinks the enemy's just going to lay down and play dead. He doesn't do that. He fights all, when he knows he's losing, he fights all the harder. And whenever you're going through a big struggle, just know one thing, you are God's. And the enemy's upset with you because you're staying in the peace of God. And he's going to work overtime trying to get you out of the peace of God. All right? You know, I know people go through divorces and they get all uptight. And you know, no sense getting uptight. It's going to work out the way it works out. Amen? Come on. I know when my first husband divorced me, he took everything. Then he tried to take my house. I said, you're not getting my house, devil. And so I went and got me a lawyer at that point. And the lawyer wouldn't let him take my house. And God told me a month ago, I wouldn't let somebody take your house then, and nobody's going to take your house now. You know, so I can say in perfect peace that I will always have my home. You can take all my savings. You can take everything else to come and take out furniture wherever you want, but you can't take my home. And I stay in perfect peace with that. Are you understanding this? You know, what I'm trying to say is I went through hard times, but God would not allow my home to be taken from me. He's not going to let you go the whole way down. He is not. And the reason why what was stolen from me was stolen is because I would just sit back and say, well, you know, this is the way life is. This is the way life was. I lay down and played dead. But when I rose up and became alive, then the stealing stopped. Are you understanding this too? The moment you feel the loss of peace, repent and ask for the forgiver himself to flood you with his peace. Come on. The moment you feel, you all know when your peace is gone. Don't tell me you don't, because you do. Even with your kids, after a bit you say, I don't even have no peace. I don't even, I'm not even existing at this point. I'm a raving maniac. Right? Your peace has left you. You know when that happens. Repent and ask for the forgiver himself to flood you with his peace. Have no doubt he will bring peace, because he always keeps his promises. Stay in him, stay at peace. Through the years of ministering, I have noticed one thing. The people that drop out of churches are the ones that get out of peace. And they cannot see beyond their problem. They cannot trust God that God will see them through. They trust everything else around about them, all the dumb junk, but they don't trust the fact that if they just stay in peace, that God will see them through it. And I believe that you can yourself say that your people that are really messed up is because they keep looking at their problem and they cannot see God in the situation in any way, shape, or form. And what they don't know is God's always in the situation if you're his child. You know, if God just left us go through life and never, and you know, never let us experience any pain, we would be a bunch of dummies. We have to experience pain, sorrow. We have to go through all those things, but we don't take our eyes off of Jesus. When my mother died, you know, I went into a depression and God said, are you going to die with your mother? He let me go that way for about a year and a half. He said, daughter, are you going to die with your mother? Your mother doesn't want that. Get yourself up and start living once again. And that's what I did. But, you know, I wasn't even realizing that that's what I was doing. So are you doing things that you don't even realize that you're doing? You know, you need to ask God, God, where am I at? What am I doing? You know, am I doing something wrong? Am I holding on to something I shouldn't be holding on to? Am I looking at the circumstances when I don't think I am? But am I looking at the circumstances instead of looking to you? You know, somebody told me the other day they got a deliverance and they were mad at God and didn't even know it. So, you know, until God revealed it to them. So let me ask you this. You think you're all that and then some, but is there something in you really that you don't know is there? You know, if you talk to the Father, because this person was doing deliverance on herself and God told them. So if you talk to your Father, he's going to tell you what is in you that should not be there. He's going to tell you what is truly stealing your peace. All right, come on. Tonight, I just really want God just to flood every one of our souls with perfect peace. Because I know that we have not been walking in perfect peace. I don't care what you tell me, because this is why God put this thing in front of me for me to teach. We have not been walking in perfect peace. And we've got to learn to get there. And I think I just really prayed about this today. And I said, God, I said, tonight I want you to drop your perfect peace upon your people. And when they leave this sanctuary, they will not have any anxiety or any fear. But they will know without a shadow of a doubt that they are in your hands and that your perfect peace abides within them. And so this is what I want you when you come up here tonight. I want you to come up here just expecting God to drop a perfect peace within you. And then whenever you get up, you're going to find out that things that used to bother you do not bother you anymore. Being a pastor, you know, you get an awful lot of dumb stuff from people. They want to blame you for their problems. Well, I've learned to stay in perfect peace in those situations. I've learned not to say, what did I do? You know, start questioning myself. I just say, God, this is your stuff, not mine. And I know we do what you tell us to do. So this is in your hands and I'm not going to get all distraught over it. I can't afford to do that. I have to stay in the perfect peace of God. The altar's open for anybody that really wants to be sealed in that perfect peace.